they came up about one more key, we'd have been on our feet, wouldn't we? Amen. That'll get you up and moving. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I tell you what, I've been blessed all morning just to think what a privilege it is to come to God's house and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Savior, Son of God. I died on the cross of Calvary, blood shed for sins of all. And it's just an exciting time. I look around, I see Christmas everywhere I look. You know, every time I walked up to church, there have been people here and the excitement level going on and the decoration taking place. And not only up here, if you hadn't been down in our fellowship hall lately, you might ought to make a little quick trip through there because the beautiful tree and everything going well. Exciting times coming on, isn't it? Preparing for Christmas. Well, we want to talk this morning about preparing for eternal life. Amen. Through the salvation of Jesus Christ and the grace of God. You know, Brother Bruce teaching Sunday school up here, and he said, it's grace. You know, he's playing about it. He said, it's grace. He said, if it ain't by grace, you ain't got it, you know. And he was talking about it. And everything, I guess, is just kind of falling into order. God knows what was needed here this morning. And he sent a message, not only through the teaching and the song service, and I think now through the preaching time and the Word of God. I don't know if you were here in time for Sunday school this morning. Jake was filling, taking in for Don, and he was doing announcements and all for Tommy also and for Mark. I don't know what he's all doing, but he got to talking about his Nintendo as compared to salvation. You know, he scares me to death sometimes. He gets up and he starts, and I think, what is this boy up to now? Bless his heart, you know, but he's my son. Amen. But he got talking about that precious gift of that Nintendo, you know. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, he was so excited when he got that thing. And he compared that to the precious gift of salvation by God's grace to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got thinking about the difference in it. Now, there's a difference in it, big time. If he misbehaved or didn't act right, I took that Nintendo away. And God don't do that. God forgives us. Now you think about that. You know that precious gift, that Nintendo. Hey, if he didn't act right, Dad, take that thing away from him. And I'm so glad I got a salvation that God don't want to repossess or take away from us. He gave it to us because he loved us. Amen. Good time to be in the house of the Lord. We still got a lot of people visiting. Pray for them. They get back safe. Got people on the road. Got people out sick this morning. I had a call early. This morning about the baby, I went blank. Blakely, very sick, so y'all be praying for her. And several others in the church also continue to pray for as they recover and heal. Good to have Joyce back with us. Last Sunday, it just didn't go exactly the way we everything thinks. You know, she's had a surgery, but good to have her back with us. And everybody else. All right, let's look at the Word of God this morning. Exciting time in the house of the Lord. I want to look at the book of Romans. Going to talk about salvation through God's grace. And this covers a lot of the things that we cling and hold to on our belief and our doctrine about eternal life. Amen. I'm thankful to tell you, I believe I'm saved forever. You know, I don't have a problem with that. When God did it, he said, whatsoever God doeth, he doeth forever. And so when the salvation came, it wasn't something I had to be in question about if I was going to be able to keep it or not. And that's what Brother Bruce was talking about this morning, about so many times we try to work and try to add to. But, you know, grace comes by the salvation and the love of God. That's where it comes from. Let's look at Romans this morning and several places in the book of Romans and go into this into detail. And get with an understanding that God loves everybody in this house today. And God loves everybody in this world. There's enough grace and there's enough salvation to save everybody. There's no shortage of it. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. I love this word separated, don't y'all? I'm going to stop at this one verse. This is an exciting point to me. That Jesus... It talks about Paul, and he said, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, and separated unto the gospel of God. And I got thinking about the statement which Paul made, and what a lovely thing it would be to stand and hear the testimony of people that could testify and declare like Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. You know, there's so many times in life that we don't want to take on the form of a servant. We want to be the master. We want to be in charge. But when you deal with the grace of God, you're going to become a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this needs preached long and strong. We've got to a point that we're not servants anymore. We want to be the head. We want to be the master. But God calls on us as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we think about Paul, and he said, called to be an apostle. Separated. Separated unto the gospel of God. This word separated means set apart. It means divided, you know. And I got thinking about, you got that right, that if you become a servant of Jesus Christ and you take on the role and call to be an apostle and you try to serve God, you're going to be separated from an ungodly world. You know it? I get tickled sometimes. You can see a whole group of folks standing around and they're talking, having a big conversation. And you know, when I walk up, it changes. Y'all ever notice it gets quiet? Y'all ever have them quiet times? And I'm thinking, them people don't like me. I don't much care. God loves me. What else would you need? But when we talk about, he said, separated unto the gospel of God. And that's what I've come to declare to you today. This gospel of God, this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, this gospel of grace, unmerited love. That's what we get. God loves us today. It said in verse 2, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, and that's the Old Testament leading up. It was a promise given to us, not only through, before this time, but time after time. In verse 3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And so he takes up both sides. He's going to deal with the fleshly side. It said he was born to the seed of David according to the flesh. And we know the lineage that came down preparing this Son of God to come in the flesh on this earth that we might have a leadership and guidance through him that we might see how we're supposed to walk on this earth. He set an example, amen. In the flesh, he set an example. But then in verse 4, and it said, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And so this declaration went forth that he is the Son of God with power. Amen. That's where we need to realize Jesus as the Son of God, as Savior of the world. I know a lot of people will call the name of Jesus. I know a lot of people will sing a song about Jesus, but you got to know and believe that he's truly the Son of God. Now, we're talking about grace. This is God's plan that we believe on his Son, that we accept him and what he did on the cross of Calvary, sufficient to cover our sins. It said it was by power, and it said by the resurrection from the dead. In verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Powerful words of God this morning. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Who did Jesus call? I want you to think about the calling of Jesus Christ. He said in one place, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So there's the draw. That could be the call to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God said that he would have all men to come to the belief and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that they might be saved. So there's the call. It says, among whom also you are called. And so this calling goes out to the whole world that we receive Jesus Christ and God's grace for salvation. Let's look over a little bit farther in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I'm going to use a few select verses today. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Y'all turn there with me. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. And let's get down to who needs salvation. Who really needs a Savior in this world? You know, I've heard people say, well, I don't need that. I'm good enough on my own deeds and my own works. I've heard that. But that's a lie. It ought to smell like smoke. It's straight out of the pit of hell. So in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now that kind of knocks the props out from under a lot of people when they find out that in their own ability and in their own works that they're not righteous according to the Word of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And we begin to have an understanding. You know, Scripture said that there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the way of thereof is a way of destruction. And so what our thoughts and our contentions on the way we ought to live our life and the way we ought to handle things is not the way God would have us to go. And so we come down to the point that none are righteous, so that shows everybody needs a Savior. Everybody that's ever born and draws a breath needs a Savior. Amen. And God sent His Son to be that Savior. So we have to look to the grace of God and the love of God through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. None. No, not one. Did you come in and feel righteous this morning? Or did you come in understanding that it was by God's grace and God's love that you're what you are? I don't claim my righteousness. I'm going to claim the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice. In verse 11, it goes a little farther. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. God seeks us through the Holy Spirit. He seeks us. He puts it in our heart that we can believe, we can understand that we seek God and we seek God's grace and we seek this salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 3 and verse 23, it said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know, in this world, I'm hearing a lot of people that they've got their own idea about religion. They've got their own idea about salvation. And when you start quoting and reading to them from God's Word, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," they start saying, "Well, don't be judgmental." Well, you know, I hear that a lot. "Well, who are you to judge me? I don't want you to be judgmental. I don't judge anybody. I just read to you the Word of God, and that'll judge them." Amen. The Word of God said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so everybody had a deficiency. Everybody had a need for a Savior that we might continue the way and not fall short of salvation. So I'm not being judgmental. I'm just telling you that Jesus and the Word of God said, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Then verse 23, very plain, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." These people that tell me I don't need God, I've got it right. These people say, "Well, give me a little credit that I was born right the first time." That's not right. You must be born again. And so we come down to this point that all of sin had come short of the glory of God. But then we start into the grace side of it. Yeah, I fell short of the mark. I fell short of what God had planned for me. Not just once, but time after time in my life. But in verse 24, "being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Did anybody see that word "freely"? When we talk about freely, it said being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So I'm freely justified. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're freely justified. Freely. It didn't cost you anything except a belief in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It said, "whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that is, he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." So far, you see, I've left out the works. Amen. I hadn't left it out because it's not, so far it's not dealing with works, that we're not justified. We're going to get into that just in a minute. It said, "where is the boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Glory! Amen! Praise the Lord! That means I'd be saved. That means I can claim this grace and this salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ because I didn't have to do it by my deeds or my works. My deeds, my works ain't worth it. They won't get you there. That's filthy rags before God. That's what our works would be. That's what our best intentions would bring us. But when I read this, it said, "we conclude that a man's faith is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." So faith is where we need to be looking. Grace is where we need to be dependent on this salvation that God has so freely given unto us. A free gift of God. Let's look a little farther. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sounds to me like we are dealing with a bunch of sinners. It said, for all have sinned. You see this? When we read about this, and it said, by one man, sin entered into the world. I loved what Brother Bruce said this morning. When you read about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God didn't give them but one law, and they couldn't even keep it. They just had one law, don't eat of the fruit. And then we start dealing with the law that God gave to Moses, then you think about trying to keep it. It'd be an impossibility, right? Now, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden had one law to abide by, and they couldn't keep it. They sinned. They broke that law, and through that brought death and sin upon all men. Everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. They inherit it. They're born with it. You've got enough sin at your birth that would condemn you to die. I'm just thankful for God's grace. I'm thankful for that blood of Jesus that covers and takes care of. Let's look at chapter 6 and verse 23 just for a few minutes. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Now I'm stopping about midways. I'm glad God didn't stop. We'd be a sad hope and a sad people this morning. It started out very plain. For the wages of sin is death. Amen. Heard a man say that at a funeral one time. He said, well, sin got another one. You know, we was preaching the funeral. He's standing over the body. He said, well, sin got another one. And he was right. The wages of sin is death. But it goes farther. It said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that reverses the effect of sin. It gives us the eternal life that we pray and we hope for, that we receive through the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get down to the point that we can truly believe this Word of God, it's a pretty easy thing, isn't it? I tell you what, all these decorations we're preparing for Christmas, if you'll believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and be saved, you'll be prepared for an eternal life. It'll bring a little more excitement. I can enjoy seeing all these great decorations and these lights and the brightness of the season that we go into, but that won't have a comparison to eternal life with Almighty God. Look back just a little bit, chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In that while we were yet sinners. These people that try to clean up. These people that try to change their lives before salvation. You know what I'm talking about. I have people tell me all the time, well, if I get to the point I can do this and I do this, I could be saved. I'm telling you, Jesus died on the cross for sinners. For sinners. That makes me thankful to know that all I was, and as bad as I was, and the greatest sinner as I was, Jesus died on the cross for me and for you and for the sins of the world. It's by grace, through faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You might be sitting here, well, I've done this and I've done that. God will forgive that. He'll put it on the blood and never see it again. That's when I get rejoicing. I think all that history I wiped out in my life. All that past is gone. Amen. It's not written in any book. It's not recorded. God said, I'll cast it as far as from the east to the west. It's gone. It's cast away. Wouldn't it be bad to have a book that had all your sins and all your shortcomings and all the times you've made mistakes and failed? Wouldn't it be bad? But God said, I'll forgive those. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. You didn't have to clean yourself up. You didn't have to prepare. You know, these people trying to clean themselves up for salvation, it's like mopping a mud floor. The more you mop it, the muddier it gets. You know it. You just can't clean it up. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, starting verse 9. When I told you it was a privilege to stand and declare to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I hear a lot about what is the gospel? What is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus is the Son of God that died on the cross of Calvary. It's very simple. It's very plain. It's not hard to be understood. God can reveal it to you by the Holy Spirit. He can show you these things. This is not a hard thing. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, is that hard to be understood by anybody? What do we have to do? Shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, that's the gospel in a nutshell. That's all it takes to get you eternal life. That's all you need for your access into heaven. When you start confessing with your mouth and believing in our heart. That's why I like to hear confessions of Jesus Christ. That's the road to salvation. In verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. You know, I'm not real big. I used to see this a lot. And I've even done it a few times. I don't know that I'll ever do it again. If y'all ever saw them services, what they'll say, now everybody bow your head, nobody look up. And if you want to be saved, you raise your hand. That way, if they're ashamed, you know, they can raise their hand. I don't go there. This says very plainly, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Amen. If you're going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you wouldn't be ashamed to walk up this aisleway. You wouldn't be ashamed to fall down the back of this church on your face and cry out to God, forgive me of my sins. You know, people say, well, you can make it easier. God's made it just as easy as it could be. He said, you shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're dealing salvation this morning. We're talking about the gift of God, His grace, His love that gets you access into heaven. You talk about a merry, happy Christmas. I'm telling you, you get saved and you can have a happy, merry Christmas, can't you? It'll add something to it. It's a wonderful thing, an experience. In verse 14, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And that's where I talked about the privilege of the opportunity to share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning, that you know for sure what it would take. Confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart. Confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart. If you've never done this before in your life, it may be your day and your time, and you think, God has given me the power through the Holy Spirit that I can believe. If you've spent your whole life thinking, I'm okay, the The Word of God says you're not. Said there's none righteous. The Word of God said all have sinned and come short. Without this confession, without this belief, you've come short of the glory of God. And this will be the day to make it right. I thought about an opportunity that God has blessed us here today, that He'd give some young person an opportunity to say, I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'm going to count that as my parents' Christmas gift. Could you ever get a better gift from your children than them to tell you, I'm saved by the grace of God? I'd rather have that than anything you could stack up. I'd rather have that than anything you could count, anything you could feel, that they have believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm really glad to think and have the hope that my family's going to be in heaven together one day. How about your family? How about your family? Very plain. Confess with thy mouth, believe in thy heart, and thou shalt be saved. Let's have a verse of a song. We'll close right there.
Page 375, church.
375, church hymnal. Everybody stand your feet. Give somebody a gift this morning. Come down and receive Jesus Christ. Then go tell them, say, this is your gift from me. David, I didn't see anybody moving or rushing down this way or trying to get somebody out of the way so they could get down here. But my prayer's for you. I pray if you don't know Jesus Christ, I pray that you will before you meet death. Because then it's too late. As long as you got breath, you got hope. But there's no guarantee on breath, are there? A man died right here at the foot of the hill this week. Motorcycle wreck. He didn't plan to die, did he? You know, he didn't plan that morning when he got up. I bet he didn't get up that morning and say, well, I'm going to go get this motorcycle and I'm going to run down here and hit a car and die today. Nobody plans, do they? You know, that's not your plan, your preparation. But I'm thankful to tell you that with God's help, you can be prepared at all times. You may not plan it, but you can be prepared. Amen. Good to have several folks visiting with us today. Good to see y'all. Heather in the back's got a young lady with her. Is this a college friend? All right. Glad to have them here with us. Got a day or two off, I guess, for the holidays. Got to come home. And several others visiting with us today. We're glad to have them. Amen. Any word, anything before we dismiss? Amen. Yeah. Just confirmation of salvation. So easy. So simple. You know, I had to overcome a problem about that. My daddy always told me that there wasn't nothing in life free. He missed it. My grace, my salvation was free. Amen. Amen. All right, anything else? Oh, next Sunday, we've got a special offer. Now, we're going to take two offerings next Sunday. We've got our tithes and offerings that's going to come, and then we're going to take a special collection for the Christmas fund, and this goes out to needy children in this area, in this county, wherever the need is. We don't draw boundaries or lines. I don't care if they're Chattanooga and what color they are or who their mom and daddy is. If they're in need and we can do it, that's what we need to do. I thought about the privilege I had of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, next Sunday, you're going to be offered a privilege that you look beyond your family and your little clique and help somebody outside of it. We get so concentrated sometime in our family and think, well, I got to take care of my family, take care of my family. Joan, you ain't getting a thing from me. I'm giving it to some kid that needs it. Is that plain enough? Because now there'll be some child that you can make a difference in their life. They won't know it's you. They'll just know it's the love of God. So everybody think about this week. You know, a lot of times we spend a lot of extra money on this, a lot of extra money on that. You could keep that back. And next Sunday, let's take this special collection for these children. And I'm going to be very plain. Some of them I know already. If we don't do it, they're not going to get it. And I don't want to sit opening a bunch of gifts and think some child over there got nothing. I can't handle it. And you think, well, he's just too soft-hearted. God bless a soft heart. All right, so y'all be prepared for that. That's next Sunday, special collection. Whatever you can do. You know your situation. You know what it is. But if you can help, God will bless it. It's going to be good to sit on Christmas Day and think, well, I helped in that family over there. That child's got something really nice because we helped. So y'all think about that this week. Do all we can. All right? Anything else? We knew it. Amen. We knew it 6 months.
One person had asked me about, I had an anniversary coming up soon.
Yeah.
But that didn't give it away.
Yeah, we'd known it 6 months, hadn't we?
So y'all got you.
Got you. Well, it was, let me tell you the good part of it. All you kids here. That made a difference to me. Okay, so we sneaked one on them. Anything else? Anybody? Lord, thank you, God, for the day and the time you've given us to come to worship and praise you. And thank you, God, for the simplicity of your word that even those of us that's not very bright or are a little bit slow, God, through the help of the Holy Spirit, we can still understand your word about salvation, about the promise of eternal life. God, we thank you for the gift that you've given us through your Son, Jesus. Lord God, just be with us. Bless this church. Help us to move forward for the cause of Christ. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.